All right, I got a few questions.
All right.
Should I step out of the room?
Excited.
You guys are like the yin and the yang of sports talk.
You know I'm a basketball guy. I love basketball season.
Everything is amazing. I'm on the owner's radar.
It's never good.
Not fun.
I'm a little surprised you agreed to do this knowing that Paulie's part of the show.
He's bound to do something every show that just makes no sense at all.
Buddy, open look at a three. Got it. Like a layup for him.
This is Orange Nation with Stephen Fonte and Pauly Sebelia.
Good afternoon. Glad to have you with us. Stephen Fonte, Pauly Sebelia with you up until 3 o'clock. 315-437-7644 is the number if you'd like to get involved in the show. A lot to get to on the show today. Coming up at 1230, we've got Nate Mink from Syracuse.com. We'll talk national title game with Jonathan Hoppe, sports director at DVM down in Georgia, former student of mine. He's a Newhouse grad covering the game last night. We've got Kevin Wall, editor from News Magician at 1. Jerry McNamara coming up at 2 o'clock on a game day as we get set for Syracuse-Pittsburgh tonight. And then John Schmelk, reporter-producer for Giants.com, coming your way at 2:30. Plus, we'll mix in your phone calls at 315-437-7644. How are you today, Paulie?
I'm doing great, Steve, and I think I'm just going to retire here. I don't know if you were paying attention to the pre-show that we do on QSportsTalk.com, but people are willing to pay me $1 or $2 to do cameos. You know what a cameo is, Steve?
I do. It's like a video message.
Yeah, so I'm going to start doing those. I'm just going
to
retire.
What do you have to say that anyone would care about?
Hey,
like, what would you say in your cameo?
All of them would lead with hey, because apparently people think I say hey too much. They'll be like, hey, it's Pauly. Thanks for the $2. Happy birthday, loser. And then I would be gone. Or, hey,
that's it.
It's okay. Your wedding anniversary. I can't believe
you
someone.
Don't get mugged for $2 these days.
Yeah, I know. But I would be like, hey, it's your anniversary. I can't believe two ugly people found each other. Happy anniversary. So I'm in. I'm out.
Must be a game day. Must be a game day because there's no hat and you got a nice shirt on today.
Yeah,
you're looking good.
Yeah. We got 3 hours, so now I can talk about doing cameos. If you'd like a cameo, just send bits on QSportsTalk.com. I'll record them and send them to you. I don't care.
So you get 30 seconds. Is that what it is?
It depends on how much. It depends on how much you spend.
How many bits?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And I'll do them live on the air on Fridays. So it's you know what I'm saying? So if you send it and you want something, I will send the message. And if it's radio friendly, I'll do it live on the radio. And Steve, you can do it too. This is a money making.
You can control.
Yeah.
It's a money making venture. I was going to say you can control whether or not it's radio friendly, right? I mean, you can control that. Now, would we both charge $2?
It depends on what they want.
I see. Okay.
Who doesn't want a wholesome one from you, Steve? Like, golly, good morning. I'm Stephen Fonte. I hope your day is full of rainbows and roses.
Is that what I sound like?
Yeah, and then me would be the complete opposite, where I hope your day is miserable and you stub your toe.
Maybe we could do them together.
Yeah,
maybe
we could
do them together.
That would be fun.
Do
you want to talk about the game?
So, yeah, let's talk about the game. Instead of you making $2 at a time. I've kind of come full circle on this. Yeah, you know I hate the term must win. We debated about whether or not that was a must win against Wake Forest. I'm siding with you now. This is a must win.
Well,
this is a must win.
Yes, and I told you this was going to be a must win if they didn't win the must win that they had last week.
Yeah, and I hate the term, and I know it's the middle of January, but man, they need this one for so many reasons. You know, not just to end a losing streak, but it's Pittsburgh. You know, if you're going to beat anybody in this conference, it's going to be Pittsburgh at home. And, you know, we discussed this on the show yesterday, Pauly. You know, Pittsburgh has played a ton of close games. I mean, everybody in this conference is playing close games. I mean, they lost to Virginia by one. It's not like Pitt can't come here and win. We saw Pitt come here and win last year, right? I mean, they swept the season series last year. Pitt is capable of winning this game. But for so many reasons, this is one that I don't care how you get it. Syracuse absolutely needs it. Not going to help as a May, but man, it would be soul crushing if you lost this game to this particular team.
Absolutely. And you know what they got to do? You know what would be nice if they could do is if they came out and just put it on Pittsburgh. You know, it's time to turn the corner. You're either gonna, you know, separate yourself as a team that's fifth or sixth or seventh, or you're a bottom feeder. You can't lose this game for multiple reasons, and you just got to prove you're better than the bottom feeders, like by a long shot.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to come out. You're suggesting, you know, come out and win this game by 20. I don't know how.
I said it would be nice.
I've said this before. Well, yeah, it would be nice. It would be. I don't know as if you should be banking on that tonight. I don't know as if Syracuse is going to beat anybody by 20.
No, what I'm saying is this team needs something like that. Like they
need a feel good win.
Yeah.
Yeah. They need a feel good win. And I'm with you. I'm with you on that. They need a feel good win. And again, it's set up that. We know anybody in this conference could beat you, but you can beat anybody in this conference. And, you know, you've got Florida State coming to town on Saturday, a team that you've already seen once this year, and you did beat them, and now it's a home game. And I know Florida State shot the ball very poorly in that game, but you've got a chance to sweep the season series with the team that was picked to finish second in the conference. You've got, you know, Clemson, another one of these middle-of-the-road ACC teams that's, you know, fighting for you know, I feel like 3 through 11 in this conference is like completely up for grabs right now. And Clemson is one of those teams in that mix. Florida State's one of those teams in that mix. You've got 3 straight home games now coming off the heartbreak that we've seen these last 3 games where you lost to Wake, Miami, and Virginia essentially by a possession. I know the Virginia game was a 5-point game, but you've lost 3 games by a total of 9 points. Now you come home for the next 3 and You got to go on a little bit of a run. I know there's a lot of basketball left to be played, but I said this the other day. You know, Yogi Berra, one of his famous sayings was, it's getting late early. It's getting late early for this team and for Pittsburgh, for that matter. Syracuse got to go on a little bit of a run here. You've got 3 home games. Defend your home court. Win these games. You know, got to win at least 2 of them. But, I mean, I think if to get back towards the bubble, you got to win all 3. I don't know how realistic that is, but defend your home court. And it starts tonight.
Yeah. And what I'm saying with this Pittsburgh game is I don't have much faith in this team. It's normally I'm the positive guy and I say that, but this team has a chance to show me something. You know, they hung in with Miami. They hung in with Wake, and we're seeing that Miami and Wake are good teams. You know, it's not something you say every year, but they're good teams. And they hung in there with them. They blew a huge lead against Miami, but they need to prove that Syracuse needs to prove that they're better than a bottom feeder team in this conference. Did you say you can win any game, you can lose any game? You got to not be in that position any longer. You got to be in a position where you can win the games that you need to win. Does that make sense? Like, you need to beat Pittsburgh, you need to beat BC's, you need to beat the other teams that are below you, you know, if you want to even have a chance of making it to the bubble. So you got to differentiate yourself from all the teams that are not top tier teams.
Yeah. Again, though, I mean, when you look at this Pittsburgh team, I know their record is not good. You know, they're just 6-9. They're 1-3 in conference play. But again, they lost to Virginia on a last second shot by 1. They lost to Notre Dame by 1. They lost to Louisville at Louisville by 3. This is a team that isn't getting blown out. They've, you know, played 9 straight games now, decided by single digits. I don't know if Syracuse is going out and winning this game by double figures, you know, so I don't know as if they're going to separate themselves in that way, but they got to separate themselves in the win-loss column. They absolutely have to win this game. And I tell you, you know, you look at this matchup, Pauline, the thing that scares me or concerns me from a Syracuse perspective is John Hughley down low. I mean, he's a big dude. He's, you know, 6'9", 280. He scores for them. He rebounds for them. And he draws fouls. And, you know, we discussed it yesterday off with Jesse Edwards. You know, he's fouled out of 8 games. They've played 15 games. He's fouled out of more than half the games that this team has played. And John Hughley is very effective, using his body, drawing contact, getting to the line. And this is a case tonight where Jesse's got to be smart. They need him in the game to try and slow him down. And I think that's a matchup I'm going to have my eyes on tonight. John Hughley against the interior of that Syracuse defense.
Yeah, I just, what I don't want is this team, you know, I don't want this team in a close game. I don't want them in a situation of maybe they're up 7-10 and it starts slipping away again and they get into that, here we go again. I don't know if that's a, you're a former athlete, maybe you could answer. Like, is that a, you know, it's got to mentally be getting to them at this point.
Sure.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I just want them to do something, like, get something that is not in question, and I feel like Pitt is the team you should be able to do it against in this conference. Pitt.
Yeah, I mean, there is something to be said for that, Paulie, about learning how to win close games, that if you're in close games enough and they continue to find ways to lose, you know, there is something about learning how to win and making those winning plays, whether it's getting a stop or, you know, coming up with a steal or, you know, inbounding the ball so you get fouled and get to the line and make your free throws. And there is something to that. And when, you know, we've seen three games in a row now that go against you, I don't think there's any question that it's, you know, some doubt starts creeping in your mind.
The good news, Steve, is if it's a close game, one of the two teams that struggled in close games is going to win one. So you got that.
This is true.
That's Mr. Positive.
This is true. Something's got to give.
The phones
as
are
they say. Let's go to the phone
blowing
line. 315-437-7644. DJ and Cicero kicking us off on the show today.
Guys, all right. First of all, I just want to say I really feel that SU tonight can actually win by 11 or 12 points.
They need it.
And secondly, if this is, to me, this is 100% must win. Must win. And second of all, Paulie.
Yep.
Make another bet on the Bills Patriots.
What's the spread?
Four.
Thought it was 4.5. Four.
Yeah.
Oh, it could be 4.5 now. I saw four. It's pretty. Yeah. It may be 4.5.
I struggle with this one because the Pats offense has been bad. I'll do it.
All right, another pizza, Paulie,
I'll bet you a pizza, 4-point spread on the Pats Bills.
Yeah, and the next thing is, I really feel is Pats going to beat Kansas City.
That's going to be my underdog pick of the week. I feel like they can do it.
I do, too. All right, guys, well, you guys have a great day.
Thanks, man.
All right, appreciate you checking in, DJ. You have a good feeling about your Steelers, don't you?
I don't, but I'm betting it. I'm going to bet the biggest underdog of the week every week, you know, and just see how much money I can make or lose.
How did things go for you last night, dare I ask?
I bet the under, and I pulled it off. I won $9 more, Steve.
$9. Nice.
$1. It's like my idea with the cameos. It may be $2 at a time, but it's going to add up. You watch when I retire in 2074.
Sure. $9 a night. That was his plan. Was that all you bet on last night? You just bet on the under?
Yeah, I bet the under. And I won by 1.5.
Right. I was going to say, you barely won. It looked like it was a lock there for a while, and then it got awfully interesting.
Yeah, and then thank God that the Bulldogs didn't let up there towards the end and just let, you know, some guys get in to
give up a meaningless touchdown.
Yeah, I was worried they were going to just put guys in so that they could put them into, you know, say they played in the game.
The national title game. Yeah. All right, 315-437-7644. Let's take a time out here. We'll continue to talk SU basketball on the other side. I don't want to say a big one tonight. It doesn't feel like a big game. It's a very important game, though, for
it's
a lot
big.
Of reasons. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com. This is Orange Nation.
I'm your idol. All right, Stephen Pauly back with you here on a Tuesday edition of Orange Nation as we keep those phone calls coming. Previewing Syracuse, Pittsburgh tonight inside the dome, 315-437-7644 to line three we go. Drew in Syracuse up next on the show. Hey, Drew, how are you today?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year. And I got four real quick things to get through. Paulie, mm-hmm. hat, thank God your Steelers won, so that was a miracle. But, yes, Steve, I hope your Bills beat his Steelers, as I'm a Browns fan.
Ew.
Third is I love you guys, and the opening of the show, the yin and yang, is my father, Lenny, so I just want to shout out to my father for calling into the show also. And the last thing is I hope we can find some defense tonight against Pittsburgh to, you know, and we talked about it yesterday about Frank not coming in, and they go in small ball. But I just hope that tonight we finally get it together and go at it. So bless you, and thank you for your time.
Hey, guys. Drew, before you go, I want to ask you something. What do you think's a worst? Mm-hmm. What's a worst feeling, being a Bills fan or a Browns fan in life?
Being a Browns fan. Both, probably, I hate to say it, being a Browns fan.
Both have to be terrible, but okay, I get it.
Well, hey, Paulie, the one thing I love is that you beat him early in the year. You busted his chops all year long. So
yeah, hopefully they meet again. I'd love to see that.
I would too. So congratulations to both of you.
Thanks.
All right.
I'd say that to you, but you're a Browns fan.
I think the Bills' luck is changing, Paulie. I don't know about you. I know that you've been warning me all year. You said it's like, you know, the Padres, and they suck you in, and then they disappoint you. I'm not so sure. I've been optimistic about this year. The Bills went through a little bit of a rough patch, but they're back on track now going into the playoffs.
It's funny, too, is the Browns, it's been longer, but they had that streak of being good but not quite getting over the hump. You remember, like, the fumble with Ernest Biner and stuff? And, yeah, wow. I my baseball team's that way. It's just never gonna happen, and I feel sorry for Bills and Browns fans because it will never happen for them either.
All right, don't feel sorry for me. Bills are gonna change their luck. They're in the process of doing that. Back to the phone lines. 315-437-7644. Matt in Manlius up next on the show. Hey, Matt.
Happy New Year, guys. Thanks a lot for taking the call.
Yeah, one thing, same to you.
Before I get into the basketball, if I could for just a second, one thing the Bills have is a WWF head coach, and he can beat anybody up in the rest of the league. That's what the Bills have. Speaking of basketball, it's been a hard road to hoe, and it's going to be interesting tonight because both those coaches have had their brains beat out of their head. Because they only seem to know how to win the tight wins, and that comes down to coaching. Along those same lines with Jimmy, I'm just wondering, the third guard on the team is number 10. What's his name?
Samir Torrance.
And it just seems to me the last couple of times he's hit the floor, he's been a force of sorts. As a matter of fact, I'll go so far to say he knows how to penetrate and gets the ball inside, and he's made some shots, and yet he gets his 5 minutes, and then he's done, and Jimmy pulls him out for whatever reason. And if nothing else, when it gets down to crunch time, and JG isn't doing it, he's throwing the ball away, he's running into a mass of people with nobody to pass to. And I think he cost us the last game when he did that, and that directly led to Jesse fouling out on that breakaway because he turned the ball over. It was terrible. And yet Jimmy seems to have his set crew, and number 10 again is just doing the job, and I don't understand. I'll sit and listen to your answer. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Appreciate you checking in. Samir brings a different dynamic to the table. There's no doubt about it. In his ability to penetrate, he's not a scorer. And again, we've seen Jim Boeheim goes with the guys that he trusts down the stretch. Joe's obviously a much better free throw shooter, much better 3-point shooter. I mean, Samir is not a 3-point shooter at all, not a 3-point threat in the least. And Joe's, you know, played a lot of minutes for this program, and he's a guy that they go to in crunch time, and they feel like they can rely on crunch time. Now, to Matt's point, yeah, he did make a costly turnover last game. It did lead to the play in which Jesse fouled out on. And, you know, we've seen that with Joe, that you know, last year, I think the biggest issue with Joe Pauly was he would take ill-advised shots. I think he has done a better job this year in that category, cutting down on those. Still takes bad shots here and there. But, you know, last year it was like there was a bad shot, one or two a game. And he's cut down on that. This year, it feels like there's a bad turnover or two a game where, you know, it's a head-scratching play where you're like, how, you know, why did he do that? How did he do that? Now, with that being said, he's, you know, whatever he is, top 20 in the country in three-point shooting and, you know, certainly one of your leaders on the floor and a 46% three-point shooter, averaging 14 a game. You'd like him to cut down on the turnovers, but, you know, Samir's not going to beat out Joe in the crunch time lineup. You know, and we've seen it over and over again that Jim goes with the guys that he trusts, and Joe is certainly one of those guys.
Yeah, look, I don't know what it is in Syracuse with basketball, but it happens every year. It's like football too.
The backup quarterback.
The backup quarterback gets it. It's everybody loves the backup. I mean, whether it was Howard Washington, you know, Kadari was very good. I can understand why you may want to see him play a little more. You know, but Jim Boeheim's a Hall of Fame coach. He knows what he's doing. If Samir was good enough to play, he'd be playing more. Not saying that he can't get there, but clearly he's not there yet. If he doesn't trust him down the stretch of games. Thank you.
Right. And I think there's a difference, in my mind anyway, Paulie, there's a difference between playing 5 minutes and being in the crunch time lineup. Like there is, it's not one or the other, right? There can be, right? There could be, he could play 10 minutes and not be in the crunch time lineup. And so maybe that's like the next step. If he comes in and continues to do good things when he's in there, you know, then maybe his minutes go from 5 to 8 to 11 or whatever the case may be. But you don't have to make that leap from 5 minutes to all of a sudden he's playing, you know, 25 and he's in the crunch time lineup. Maybe he's got to build toward that. But, you know, maybe seeing him a little bit in the second half would be a good thing. We haven't seen that much. We've seen it here and there. We'll see how things evolve. But, you know, again, Joe and Buddy, they're the starting backcourt. That's the backcourt that they're going to have in at the end of games. They're both really good free throw shooters. They're both good three-point shooters. And they're going to be in at the end of basketball games. I think we've seen that. But, you know, could Samir stand to play a few more minutes here and there if he's playing well? Yeah, why not?
Okay. If he's playing well, sure. Like I don't think you just crowbar him in just because you
want to
experiment.
You know, and I'm not,
and like, you can't take Joe
I'm
off
saying
the,
it, you know, it,
you can't take Joe off the court in crunch time because he's such a good follow shooter. Like,
right. I hope you're not misunderstanding me. I'm not suggesting that he go in
maybe,
during crunch time. I'm saying that there's a difference between
then.
5 minutes, or, you know, maybe he plays in the second half. And, you know, maybe moves Joe to the shooting guard for a stretch and sees if, you know, maybe that gives him a little bit of a spark. That's all I'm saying is that, you know, I'm not against Samir getting a few more minutes, but he's not cracking the crunch time lineup, nor should he, in my opinion, crack the crunch time lineup. So I think we're on the same page.
Al in our chat is saying, my bad, Paulie and Steve, I forgot how successful the current game plan is working. Well, here's the thing. As bad as it's working, it could be worse, right? There's still room for error for it to be worse on this team. You know, you can't just go out and try things because you want to. You got to fix with what you got. And if Coach Boeheim is not confident in Samir right now, then he's not going to play him. They got 7 wins. They could potentially have none. You know, they could have 3. It could be worse.
So going back to the call before that about, you know, defense, you know, if they're going to have a solid defensive effort, you know, tonight would be a prime opportunity to do that. Pittsburgh's dead last in the ACC in scoring, averaging 62.5 a game. Syracuse dead last in scoring defense. Pittsburgh dead last in scoring offense. But this is a team that does not shoot the three well. It's, you know, this is a game that they should win, and they should have success on the defensive end. If they can't slow down slash stop Pittsburgh, I was going to say that's a problem. They've already got problems on the defensive end, but this is an opportunity tonight to hopefully take a step forward defensively with this team. Pitt does not shoot it well from the outside. We do have to take a timeout. Nate Mink from Syracuse.com joins us on the other side. We're back after this.
ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com.
This is Orange Nation.
Stephen Pauley back with you here on a Tuesday edition of Orange Nation. Just got about 10 minutes or so left in the show, and then we'll hand things off to Danny Shays and Brian Higgins. They'll take you from 3 to 4, and then Brent Axe from 4 to 6 as we get you set for Syracuse-Pittsburgh tonight. Inside the dome, the Orange double-digit favorites, Pauley.
Yeah, that's shocking, right? Would you have,
I know Pitt's not good, but that does, you know, as you like to say, that does sound like a lot of spread to me.
If you were setting odds, what would you set it at?
I don't know. I'm not an odds maker.
Four?
Jordan is our
4.5.
Our gambling aficionado.
That's about where I'd be.
I'd probably set it a little bit higher than that. Maybe 2 possessions. You know, maybe 6, 6.5. I don't know. 10 sounds like a lot to me. But
I put it at 4.5. But that being said, I think Syracuse is going to cover the 10. I really do.
So what I'm learning is when a line sticks out to you like that, it's usually for a reason. And so the line at 10 sounds like a lot. So that means that
they know
Vegas
something.
Wants you to go under 10, and they think that Syracuse is going to hammer them. Am I understanding that right?
Yes. Govendo in our chat feels like 6.5 would be a proper line. They know something.
That's about what feels right to me, too. And again, I know Horton's not playing again, but and he's the difference maker for them, but I don't know. I'm not sure we're going to see Syracuse win too many games by double digits the rest of the way. I guess if they're going to win one, this might be the one, Pittsburgh at home, but it does sound like a lot to me.
I learned something after the Wake Forest game, too, that I felt like I somehow was jinxing Syracuse by picking them to win all the time. And I just
has nothing to do with you.
Yes, I know. As much as I hate to think that the world revolves around me, and maybe it doesn't, I feel like Syracuse is going to win this one big. And I feel like it's what they need to do, and it's what they will do. They're gonna start climbing the way back into making this what I like, a bubble season. I'm not saying they're going to get to the tournament, but they're gonna start creeping back into.
This one's not really a creep back to the bubble type game.
It's a start.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, right. You can't afford to lose it. Winning it does nothing for you.
But you're not getting back to the bubble without winning this game.
Well, yeah. Right.
You're getting further away from the bubble.
Right. Right. You're talking about another really bad loss that is going to be awfully difficult to make up for because they just don't have that many opportunities on the schedule. You know, Miami, even after beating Duke, Miami's just on the outside, right? On the outside of the top 25?
Yeah.
I say that, and now I'm second-guessing myself, but I think they're 26th in the coaches poll, if I'm not mistaken. So they're still just one ranked team in the,
yes, you're
in
right.
the top 25. Right, okay. And let's see, Miami is, what, 28th in the AP and 26th in the coaches. No, there's just one team right now from the ACC. It remains Duke. Duke fell back to number 8. There's just not that many opportunities for quality wins in this conference. So, yeah, this is one they can't afford. Now, what I was going to say was, now, you know, you beat Florida State and Clemson. Like, if you win these next 3 games at home, Pitt, Florida State, Clemson, now I think you could talk about what you're saying, which is, you know, moving in the right direction towards the bubble. Like, you know, there might be some movement there with your net ranking and so on and so forth. If you can win these next 3.
They're all equal. Of the 3, they're all equally important to me. You got to win 2 out of the 3.
You got to win them.
Yeah. Right. All right.
You got to win them.
Kevin for Liverpool says he wouldn't touch this game. I don't think I would either. I feel like that's a segment, though, Steve. If we get Jordan to get what he thinks is the most ridiculous odds of the day, and we play a game called Would You Touch It? What do you think? Or you're just not going to touch my topic of would you.
Exactly.
I'm not exactly. touching. Not, would you touch
I'm not
it?
Touching that. Yeah,
right.
I'm not touching it.
See, it's ideas like this that make me a genius.
I feel like I'm going to say that quite a bit.
You,
it's ideas like this what?
That make me the genius, but also make me people think that you will quit in 5 days of doing 3 hours with me.
Well, I have a break from you tomorrow, so.
Yes, I'm out.
That's a good thing.
I am out. I'm on for an hour. You can't fully get rid of me, but then I'm going to get a tooth pulled, too.
This is that situation. You've been dealing with this for a while.
Yes, and I keep putting it off and putting it off. And they told me I could come back to work on Thursday, so I shouldn't be out okay. too long. It's not like
gonna
I ate a pork chop hurt. Or anything. Yeah,
I'll going to fight. I knew that was coming. I should have never been honest with you about that. I said too much. I shouldn't have given you a reason. Just, I'm out today, Paulie. Unexpected.
So
abundance of caution.
I just want to remind people, Steve, that if you would touch it, that you should do it on the FanDuel app and use promo code Paulie SYR if you're at Syracuse, and Paulie U if you're in Utica. I don't know if I get any extra money or anything, or points or brownie points for saying that, but I just feel like I'm in a competition now with everybody to get people to use my promo code. Kevin from Liverpool, great idea, says we should use "You Can't Touch This" as the theme too.
That is good. That is good. That is good.
I like it.
So that's the question today in our new our informal new segment.
Yeah,
you can't touch it. Whether or not you would touch this game.
Yeah,
yeah.
I
don't feel great about that because as you said, the line seems like a lot, spread seems like a lot, and there's probably a reason for that. So,
yeah, it's a lot of spread. I would not touch this game with a 10-foot pole. So there, I would not touch it.
All right, so just to remind people, we've got the return of the watch party tonight, correct?
Yes, Jordan's out of protocol. He's back.
And the return of the post-game show tonight.
Right.
Myself and Eric Diefendorf,
correct.
As far as we know.
Yep.
Right?
That is correct.
Okay. And then we've got 3 hours to talk about it tomorrow. You for hour number one, and then I'll be with my new Channel 9 colleague, Mario Sacco, here for the final 2 hours. So we'll have plenty to talk about, one way or the other.
That's right.
A win or a loss, there'll be plenty to talk about.
Shays and Higgins next. Shays promises me he's not in a restaurant for show number two.
All right. Looking forward to it. Shays and Higgins coming up next. We're back at it. Noon tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.